So we are in our series this summer called How We Grow. And so it's all about spiritual disciplines, looking at the things that we should be practicing in our life daily, but let's be honest, things that we don't really do daily. The one I'm talking about this morning is particularly hard for me and is not an easy one to talk about. So there's a few times that I'm like, you know what, maybe I should have someone else. This is one of those mornings. This morning, we're talking about simplicity. And so if you have your Bible, we're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 6 and talking about simplicity. If you want more information on what we're doing this summer, we are talking through the spiritual disciplines using God's Word and using the book Celebration of Discipline to talk about spiritual disciplines. If you want to know all the spiritual disciplines that we're talking about this summer, we have these flyers here. They're at the Connect Center in the front, or they're here near the back door there. And so you can grab one of these. It talks about all the spiritual disciplines we're doing this summer. Also encourage you, if you've not read the book Celebration of Discipline, I know there's a few folks here in the church that are reading that book this summer. It is a great book. I think those of you who've been reading it, I know a few people who've been talking to me would agree with that. So it is a phenomenal book, and if you want something that helps you to see God in a new way and really helps you to grow in your faith and grow in your walk with Christ, I think it's a great resource to learn how to do it in very practical ways. So as you're turning to Matthew chapter 6, will you join me in a word of prayer this morning? God, grateful that we can come together this morning and that I can share from your word. May the words I say be words that come from you and not from me. And may our lives be changed and transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the truth of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I need y'all's help on this one. What is simplicity? Just yell it out. What do you think simplicity is? Basic? Simple? Easy? The essentials? Uncomplicated? Decluttered? No frills? Minimum? Habits? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that one very well, so. All right, let's look at what the dictionary says about simplicity. We have jokers in the room today. So it says simplicity is the state, quality, or an instance of being simple. Someone yelled out simple. It uses the word simple to describe simplicity. Freedom from complexity, intricacy, or division into parts. Absence of luxury, pretentiousness, ornament. Plainness, freedom from deceit or guile, sincerity, artlessness, I don't know what that means, naturalness. You may think of, at least sometimes when I think of simple, I think of this song right here. So I was a choir kid. I still call myself a choir kid. I was in choir starting in elementary school, and so I couldn't tell you how many times we sang that song. And so anytime I think about simplicity, I think of the Shaker hymn, A Gift to Be Simple. It's such a simple song. But it's still such a great song, but it's one of the ones that I think of that pops in my head when I think of simplicity. So when I was looking and preparing for this morning's message, that was one of the first songs that came to my head. It's such a great song. But it's great. It talks about being a gift to be simple, gift to be free. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, we'll be in the valley of love and delight. So Richard Foster says the Christian discipline of simplicity is an inward reality that results in an outward lifestyle. Both the inward and the outward aspects of simplicity are essential. Let's look at what God's word says in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So that's a passage that is read. I think a lot of pastors preach on that one a lot. I want to pause there for a second. The question that this passage is asking us is, what do we value? It's not saying that money is intrinsically bad, that money is a bad thing. Money is a tool. Just like anything else, money is a tool. It can be used for good or it can be used for bad. But the question is, what do we value? Do we value God more than our money, or do we value the worldly possessions, the things that we have, more than we value God? And that's a question for all of us this morning. It's something we have to ask ourselves every day when we say, do I want the latest and greatest, whatever the thing is that you think of when I say the latest and greatest? We have to think, you know, are we valuing God more in this moment, or are we valuing money more in this moment? But let's continue reading in Matthew chapter 6 and pick up in verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So in July of 2011, my wife and I and our oldest son, LT, he was about 18 months old, moved to Lubbock, Texas. And so that is Ginger's hometown. I said I would never live in West Texas. And yeah, see, that's what God did. He laughed and said, you think you know what you're doing, but okay. And so we moved to Lubbock, Texas. I was working for a company in Kentucky that was actually based out of Dallas. And so I was the only person in my office that did what I did. And so I asked, could I transfer and work remotely? They said, yeah, that's fine. My boss was remote. Her boss was remote. Like, there was a whole bunch of folks that were remote. Not a problem. Great. So fast forward a few months, and we find a house, and we have purchased a house. And so we have a mortgage payment now, which we felt like we were real adults. Having a mortgage payment, it was the first time for us to have one of those. And week before Thanksgiving, I get an email from my boss's boss that she wants to have a meeting. So most people, if your boss's boss wants a meeting, it's not a good thing. Well, for me, I worked with her all the time. I had some projects that I worked with my boss on, I had other projects that I worked with her boss on, depending on what things were going on. So her wanting to meet with me was not an unusual thing. It was just like, oh, okay, sure, not a problem. So I hop on the call, and she said, Jeremy, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but you and 2,500 other employees are being laid off today. So right before that, we found out that my wife was pregnant with my oldest daughter. So we just bought a house, found out my wife is pregnant with their second kid, and I just lost my job. Talk about needing to trust God. I don't know how, and I still can't explain it, but all of our needs were met. We never missed a mortgage payment. We didn't miss any of our bills. We always had food to eat. Can I tell you, like, the formula? Like, I wrote this book, and it tells you exactly what to do in case you lose your job. No, we just trusted God, and God provided. But it was also a time in our life that, yeah, there was no question of, are we going to do this whatever thing, go on this fun trip or whatever. It's like, no, this is what we need. And so talking about a time in our life that we had to live simply and had to trust God, that was a big time for us. And so we learned during that season what it meant to live simply. Thankfully, when we had bought our house, and we didn't know this, we didn't have a whole lot of money, and so we bought what we could afford. And so our mortgage payment was $600 a month. And so that made a difference too, because the bank said, oh, you're approved for this. And we were like, that's really high. We're going to buy a house like this. But we learned how to live simply. We had to live simply. But we also got to see God being faithful during that time. See, it's amazing how we trust God when we have no choice. It's amazing when we're willing to trust God, and it's easy to live simply when you have no money. I mean, really, like, let's be honest. When you don't have any money, it's real easy to live simply. It's like, can I buy new clothes? Nope, I don't have money for clothes. But how do we live simply in every circumstance of life? Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10, says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Can we be honest? Sometimes life is just going to happen to us. Sometimes life feels like getting hit by a bus. Anybody ever been like that? It's just like everything's going okay, and you feel like you just got hit by the bus of life. We live in a fallen, broken, sinful world. That is part of the fall, part of the sin that has entered this world, is that life is not always good. Life can be really bad at times. But see, Paul says in that passage, we quote a lot of times, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but we don't go back to the preceding verses that say, I have learned how to abide in much, I've learned how to abide in little. But no matter what life brings at me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because my hope, my focus, my dedication is not on the things, but it's on God. See, my eyes are focused on Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives life, and He is the one that I focus my life on. So no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in this life, I can be focused on Jesus Christ and know that my life is going to be okay. I don't have to have all the things. Or sometimes God blesses me and I have all the things. But either way, is my focus on Jesus Christ or not? Where are my eyes centered? Richard Foster gives us 10 controlling principles for simplicity in his book, Celebration of Discipline. The first one is buy things for their usefulness rather than their status. The second one is reject anything that is producing an addiction in you. The third one is develop a habit of giving things away. All right, a little, not a promo, a little shout out for across the street here for our free store. If you have things to give away, the free store is open Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. for donations. They take clothing items, gently used and new clothing items. If it's got holes or stains and you don't want it, just throw it in the trash. Don't give it to the free store. Or household items or small appliances like air fryers, microwaves, things like that, to give away to people in need. Like, that is the purpose of the free store, is we give things to the free store and the free store gives it to people that are in need in our community. And so if you have things to give away or want to give things away, that is a great place to give things away. I know what they do with the stuff. And if you want to know what they do to the stuff, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Saturday, they can use volunteers from 9 a.m. to noon. Go and talk to Corky. Corky, can you wave your hand, please? Talk to Corky. She can get you set up, tell you what to do. She can always use people to help and volunteer. But it's a great place, a great way to be connected, to develop a habit of giving things away. Refuse to be influenced by the custodians of modern gadgetry. Now, Richard Foster used a different word than custodians, and I didn't know what that word meant. And so I looked it up, and this is a synonym, custodians, but really saying, don't be a person that wants all the things because everybody else has all the things. When I lurked up in Boston, there was a mall right next to my office. And sometimes I would park in the basement of the mall, or if it was really cold, I'd walk through the mall to get to my office. The stores are closed and everything else. Well, one day, and this was 6 a.m. in the morning, pretty early, way before the mall's closed, I'm walking through the mall like I normally do, and there is a line of people. Probably 100, 200 people in line as I'm walking through the mall. I'm like, why are all these people here? The iPhone was coming out. So this was in 2006, 2007. And so the iPhone was coming out. So they were all standing in line. I don't know how long they had been there, but the store didn't open for at least another 4 or 5 hours. And they're standing in line waiting for the iPhone to come out. I think that's what Richard Foster is talking about here. Learn to enjoy things without owning them. Enjoy the beach without needing to buy a beach house. Enjoy going to the lake. Enjoy hiking, being in God's creation. My father-in-law, Ginger's dad, grew up going to Port Aransas, Texas. Loved going to the Texas coast. And there was a time in his life he thought, you know, I've done well. I've been successful in business. I want to buy a house at Port Aransas so that we can have a place that we can stay at year-round. Well, a friend of his who owned a house there said, don't do it. Because it's great the first year, and the house is wonderful, it's new, it's nice, and it's great. And then year two or three, things start breaking. You have to fix one thing in year three, and then year four, you realize the only reason you're going is because you're fixing things. You're not actually going out and fishing and enjoying the water and just enjoying being there. So sometimes the things that we enjoy in nature, it's okay to just enjoy them and to have to buy things to make it special or buy a house to make it better. It's okay to just go and enjoy because then it's someone else's problem. Someone else can own the house and they can take care of all the maintenance and the trouble and all the problems that can come with it. Develop a deeper appreciation for creation. We have over 6 national parks and monuments that are near us. So there's plenty of places to go hiking and fishing, skiing, snowboarding, tubing, all the things here in this area. Look, number 7, look with a healthy skepticism at all buy now, pay later schemes. Number 8, obey Jesus' instruction about plain, honest speech. Matthew 5:37. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Number 9, reject anything that breeds the oppression of others. And number 10, shun anything that distracts you from seeking first the kingdom of God. I read it earlier, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I have been to lots of funerals, officiated just a few, but anytime I've ever been to a funeral, I never see a trailer following a hearse. You just don't see it. And so our constant need, or some people's constant need, to want to get more things and get more things and get more things and get more things and get more things. When you're dead, all those things are somebody else's things. And so the question is, are we trying to get more things to get more things? Are we trying to seek God and really seek after eternity? And knowing that us being alive here on earth is this much of eternity. It's just a sliver of what things will be like in eternity. And so where's our focus? Is our focus on eternity, on doing the things that are pleasing to God, on serving those around us, on giving, on sharing our life, our time with people around us, on sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel of all those around us? Or is our focus on trying to get more things to get more things, so that we can say, we have all the things? First Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. So question for us this morning is, do we trust God to provide us the things that we need? And are we willing to ask Him for it? Are we always asking for the wants? Are we asking God for the things that we need? Will you pray with me? Father God, in this moment of silence, this moment of quiet, help us to see truly what are the things that have become gods in our life. What are the things that we have decided have become more important than our relationship with You? What are the things that we need to give up? The things that we need to lay aside, the things that we need to surrender to You. What are those things that are causing us to stumble in our relationship with You? Those things that are distracting us from the good things that You are trying to do in our life, that are distracting us and keeping us. For a true calling to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go and make disciples of all nations. What are those things that are keeping us from doing that? Those things that we need to give up so that we can simply trust You. So, Father, even now, show us what are those things. And Father God, let us be willing to give those up. Let us be willing to make hard decisions to say, I am trusting You. So, Father, even now, speak to us. Let us hear You speaking. And let our response be, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.